again, heading for midfield. There he goes.
There's going to be a penalty on George Teague because he's going to clock him. Now Teague's going to be kicked out of the game.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, in Lathrop? Joining us right now, Cowboys safety from 98 to 2001, George Teague. And, of course, that's when he clocked Terrell Owens on the Dallas Star. You don't really hate the 49ers, do you, George?
Excuse me? Hello? I can't? Yeah. Hey, man, there's some, I think with the history of this game, and I know it hasn't been the same that it maybe it was in the 90s and all that, but there's definitely still a bit of rivalry between two teams. It's kind of, came back the past couple of years. So to answer your question, yeah, I'm not a 49ers fan, and I talk plenty of trash to all of my 49er buddies all the time.
let me ask you this. Cowboys obviously 3-3, and the 49ers have their own problems, but as somebody who watches the Cowboys all the time, how confident are you that they can turn it around?
No, I'm not. And I'll try to be fair. I'll try to be fair about it too. I do love the Cowboys, but I can not be the homer at the same time because we got a lot of struggles. We can't run the ball.
Wow.
We didn't make the right amount of moves, I feel like, personally, to put ourselves in a better position to, who would have been able to catch the 49ers if, when they're full strength, or other teams like Detroit and things of that nature. So, we're banged up. We're hurt. I know the 49ers are too. But it just seemed like we didn't do enough to have ourselves in position so that when you do have some key injuries that you could have some plug-and-play guys that could, keep you in games until you're at full strength.
Man, George, it's a pleasure to have you on. My daddy's from East Texas. I live a hard life. I do radio out here at the Bay, so I got the 88 white cowboy jersey on, and they coming for me. But for you to say what you just said, I appreciate that all honesty, but I got to take you back to that day you hit T.O. Has that day changed your life, George? Because when I hear George Teague, I think of that play like you put it all on the line and respected the star. Talk to us about that, man, and the love you got, I'm sure, after that.
Yeah, man, it did change my life, and I'll tell you, that was in 2000, and as of today, before I was speaking to you, I was at lunch, and then this gentleman that walks up to me while I'm eating my fried chicken, like, hey, aren't you the guy that hit Terrell Owens off the star? I pretty much talk about it all week, all the time while I'm out here. So it had positive effects. And as a matter of fact, I'll give you one more piece because I'm the athletic director at a high school here in Texas called John Paul II High School. I actually had to retell the story to these guys. They know it, but they weren't born yet. So I was kind of giving them examples of character, and what happens when, you're heated that I could understand when you, need to lash out a little bit, or when people are disrespecting your field in this thing. So it's helped in a lot of ways, positively, where I could tell this story about it as well. The last thing I need to tell you about it, since you guys are bringing it up, I do have a GoFundMe page, and I'm trying to get my fine money back from it too. So if you want to donate $5,
what was the fine? How much?
$24,999.
Hey, we're joined by...
You asked if it changed my life. Yeah, it did.
We're joined by George Teague, former Cowboys safety. From afar, what do you think's going on with the San Francisco 49ers right now? People are saying Super Bowl hangover. If that's the case, what is it? But what do you see with this team that hasn't quite reached its potential just yet?
There's a bunch of people that have voodoo dolls, and we're just kind of checking them at you guys out there in the West. But it's tough when you trying to sustain the level of play that they've had over the past couple of years and not getting there, because inevitably something's going to break and people will start to figure you out a little bit. So when you add that to injuries like this, and, you know, and how do you control a Bosa or something, it just gives more stuff on tape and more film that makes it more difficult for you to get over that last little up. So, you know, you start getting the beat on Brock Purdy, and, you know, you see his game has changed a little bit. It, you know, do you talk about personnel with that or not? I don't know, but I just know that in when I was playing and when you watch, and I get to watch a lot of film, right? So you just see where people can pick up tendencies and they try to fool you into doing things that, you know, make you not play as well.
Man, George, I got to tell you, man, I really appreciate your honesty about you thinking the, you know, the, this current edition of the Cowboys can't turn it around. And I'm down too, but I don't know what I'm more disgusted at. And that might be strong, but you helped me out. A quarterback for 8 years that just got paid twice, Dak, and they hadn't even got to a championship game, or a coach in McCarthy whose offense looks archaic and doesn't look like the offenses that are successful right now in the NFL. What do you say to that, to Cowboy fans that come at you? Which one are you more concerned with?
Bro, okay. And, and from a player's standpoint, you know, you don't want to talk about people's money and what they got, and you're supposed to be happy for them, and I am. But with that comes expectations. And you're the highest quarterback in the league, and you got a wide receiver who's got the biggest money ever. You know what? You expect them to perform at a different level that you need to have. You can't really make a whole lot of excuses, regardless of what's around you, because those guys are out there. So when you put that in conjunction with McCarthy and some, you know, he's been on the hot seat for a little bit, but you got to design some stuff so them two guys shine, you know. He can complain maybe about the running backs that the GM didn't get him and all this kind of stuff. It don't matter. Those guys are there. We got to figure out how this guy looked like. How come CD can't ever get wide open like everybody else? I see Justin Jefferson running around all over the place, Cooper Kupp making these uncontested catches, Debo and all the rest of the guys out there, and we can't. I mean, see these catch and jack routes only for 2 yards and chasing them, so it doesn't make sense to me as an analyst too, right? And as a fan, so I think all of them have some work to do, and it needs to start showing up to this Sunday night. Mm. Matter of fact, in my opinion.
George Teague joining us on 95.7 The Game, former Cowboys safety. George, one of the things with the Niners is their offense has been sputtering, especially in the red zone. And Brock Purdy was asked yesterday about whether or not he audibles at the line, or he's allowed to audible at the line and change of play. And I want to play for you what his response was and then ask you about it. So I'm going to ask you to take a listen to this. It's not very long.
Usually we just have an answer built into the play. And so if we do have like an all-out blitz or something, we usually have an answer of where I should be hitting or where I should be going. And there's very rare occasions where we walk up to the line and we get a look and it's, oh, shoot, they got us. And then I'm supposed to randomly make up an audible. There's nothing like that. We usually always have an answer for pressures, all-out blitz, and things like that. So that's on me to get to the right guy.
Does that resonate with you at all, the way they maybe go about running their offense? Is it different than other teams?
Okay. It does resonate with me. I'll try my best to try to explain it. And I've heard other coaches speak on it. I've heard McCarthy speak on it about built-in things for Dak in the offense. So in today's age, think of it kind of like the RPO where you kind of got three things built into one play. Do you run it? Do you pass it to the quarterback? Keep it. So if I can keep it on that simple kind of scale, that typically, depending on what happens with your, what kind of defensive look you see, will determine what you need to run. Okay. But everybody has to be on the same page, because it could make your wide receiver run a different route. And if everybody's not on the same page, then it doesn't look so good. you know, even though you might be saying something, some number, shooting out something, saying, hey, we got to do something different because of the way it looks. It happens on defense too, right? So sometimes on defense, you may call a base defense, but if they come out in a different formation, it doesn't, you may have a verbal check, or you could just know that now that safety who was supposed to blitz, it automatically converts over to someone else. It's not, it's built in that way. So when I hear built in, I got my air quotes up a little bit. There's still, it's a check, okay? But it doesn't mean the quarterback has to change the whole play. You got to be really good at identifying what's happening across from you offensively and defensively so that you can be the most effective play that it can be.
Good stuff.
So always be right, basically. You should always be right.
Wow. Hey, George, let me ask you this, because you play defense. When you look at this Niner defense, and the Niners and Cowboys have played big-time games in the last 5 years, three in the playoffs, my question to you is, I'm on Bosa sometimes because I want him to be more disruptive, the highest-played defender in the game, right? But a lot of times I think the heart and soul of the defense is Fred Warner. When you look at this Niner defense from afar, who is the guy to you?
Fred Warner is a dude, man. He is something that you have to worry about. You know, obviously in the run defense, he just seems like the heart and soul when I watch him. There are certain people that change the dynamic of the game, not just from just being disruptive, it's their attitude and their swag and what they bring. And Fred brings that toughness, that nastiness, but he's grabbing interceptions, you know. He's disruptive too, so, and he can be all over the place where you kind of know Bosa's going to be lined up on the left, and whatever happens over there, you know, yeah, you want him to do stuff, but he's kind of limited. Where Fred is not. He's running from sideline to sideline, you know, quicker. So with the dudes, he's covering wide receivers sometimes. I mean, he's got running backs. Just look at him statistically. He's second among the linebackers in interceptions. You know, there's just so many things about him. So, anyway, I love the guy, and I hope he doesn't disrupt us too much.
Yeah, good chance of that happening, George, but yeah.
George, so if you haven't, you know, my partner here is a Cowboy fan, and boy, he's given me some unbelievable perspective on what it's like to be a Cowboy fan. He's so down on him that he said, oh, man, you know, Cowboys are going to lose by 20 on Sunday. And so he's actually made a bet with me, and he's given me 19 and a half.
Yeah, George.
How do you play in front of a fan base with that kind of mentality?
I'm scarred, George.
I think it's come to just the head with the fan base. And I'm a fan, you know, of just, it's been too long, too many years, too many promises, too much stuff. Wow. You know, after last year, after the Green Bay loss, I think all of us were like, something got to go down, something or up. You know, you got to remove a coach. You got to bring in a something. You got to do something. And we didn't do anything. We're the same team that we were last year. On paper, right? There was okay. Well, I'm lying. We brought in Eric Kendricks, and we signed Dalvin Cook late. Who's excited about that? It's not excited about. So that does not give the juice to the fans to be like, oh man, this is the year. No. And then you go out there and you get trampled by Detroit. Good Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's not pretty. I don't think we're going to lose by 20 points just because you guys are struggling a little bit with injuries as well. But I can understand where he's at as far as saying, you know, I don't know how this is going to go. The only thing that's positive for me is that we're playing on the road. We're coming to y'all. We play better on the road. That's why I think we got a good chance to maybe disrupt it.
George, man, you've been awesome. We'll get you out of here on this one. So it's simple as this, right, to me. Jerry's like an uncle that I never met because he got us three early and he was spending free agency. But for you to do the dog and pony show with Dak, pay him at the end, you pay CD, so you can't rebuild, And the only thing I'm looking forward to, and I don't want anybody being unemployed, but Mike McCarthy will be fine. But, George, the bottom line is you need a coach to come in here like a Kyle Shanahan and change this thing around, because right now it's archaic. And I'm mad at Jerry because he's drafted well. They have talent, but it's chess, not checkers, man. So I'm down on Jerry flying the helicopters to practice, asking for the radio guys to get fired when it all starts and stops with you.
Jerry wanted a little bit of that West Coast life, too. He said, there's the superstars out there, Hollywood people. He's Hollywood, man. He's going to fly in on his plane, on his jet. He's probably going to roll out there with his big old bus and all kind of stuff, because that's who he is. And he's like, hey, man, my time is short, so I'm going to live this up. I'm going to keep making this money. Well, y'all going to keep buying these tickets. So we're complaining. Just come to the game and let's get it.
Hey, George, thank you so much for joining us, man. Great stuff. And enjoy the game on Sunday, man.
All right. Have a great day.
All right.